today on Real Radio.
I believe that if I poured my life into building God's church here in town and obeyed him and did everything, and he'd take care of my family. God made it really clear to me later on, you lost a lot of time, Jack.
Wow.
I never said I would cover your home if you would build the church. I build my church, Jesus said. You take care of your home.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called Real Marriage. It's a series that takes a break from the norm to discuss the definition of marriage in an interview setting. God ordained marriage, so it's important to spend time on God's plan for coming together as one. Today, Pastor Jack, his wife Lisa, and myself, David J., will talk about the blended family, whether it comes from having children or grandchildren, from remarriage or through adoption. It's a fascinating topic. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Let's talk about families. Let's talk about specifically the blended family, because we've talked about a whole bunch of different subjects. The last topic we talked about on our last program was abuse. Before that was divorce. Mm-hmm. Blended families happen because of divorce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there ever a good situation that can come from divorce equals blended family?
Well, it's kind of neat. Lisa's going to answer to this because she lived it. Her situation, being in a blended family, didn't come out of divorce, believe mm-hmm. it or not, came out of death.
Oh, interesting.
And so
okay.
She's got a lot to share on that, mm-hmm. you know, for sure. But look, I'll just say this and then I'll kind of get out of it and listen. I believe, and we know this from experience, adoption is an awesome thing. Adoption's wonderful. We have an adopted granddaughter, mm-hmm. and honestly, we never think about it unless someone brings it up.
Mm.
And it shocks us because we have a grandson who's not adopted. As grandparents, the amount of love for them equally is overflowing.
Yeah, but it's equal.
It's equal.
See, that is...
It's both equal and unique because one's a boy, one's a girl. They both have different personalities, but the love is the same. Here's what I'm getting at. In a blended family, I believe that people ought to approach it mm-hmm. like adoption.
Yep.
If that blended family views one another as that we're going to love one another, I think that division will evaporate to as much as possible, because if you approach it like an adoption, I think God will so honor that.
And too often, I think families go into, if there has been a divorce or a death, doesn't matter, they have a blended family, they have kids, they don't go about it quite maturely or correctly.
Yeah.
They go into it with either separate income, separate children. This is my son,
yeah.
This is your daughter, or whatever the situation. There's never this unity.
Mm.
Like he said, I came from a blended home because of death. My parents never did that. It was my father and my stepmother. There was never this his and hers and
really?
What, you know, never. Yeah. It was just all of us kids.
Did you feel that? It was just all of us kids?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
I mean, we were raised to respect one another. It didn't matter. A stranger could have been brought in the home. You treated them with that respect. It was across the board. I was raised in a Christian home, though.
Mm-hmm.
But across the board, you treated people with respect. So it just didn't matter who they were.
So this just popped into my head. Let's get back to the blended family in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk to the subject of families in general and the fact that there are going to be children. What would you say to the person that says, you know, you Christians, you shouldn't have any more kids. We're overpopulating this world anyway. Mm-hmm. What would you say to them, Pastor?
Well, you just went down a path that is a real passion of mine.
Okay.
Because God delights in family. He invented it. And so we're going to celebrate that. And my wife and I are going to pray and decide how many kids we want to have. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the answer. The ridiculous view is that the world is overpopulated. I mean, scientifically, we absolutely know that this world can handle double the amount of people that's here right now,
mm-hmm.
sustainably, easily. So that's a whole other environmental type of sociological mm-hmm. issue. But that's smokescreen. Oh, you know, we're not going to have kids because the world is populated. So they simply do not know what they're talking about.
Mm.
So the world is not overpopulated. Mm. So you mind your own business. my wife and I are going to have 300 kids. It doesn't matter to you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't get why people want to interject their thinking. It should be between the husband and the wife, how big or how small their family's going to be.
Yeah.
And some people, honestly, they look at a young couple or maybe they've been married 10 years and they don't have kids and they start to judge them. Maybe they can't. Maybe they've been trying. We don't know the heartache that's going on between a couple, and it's rude to interject that, honestly.
They both could have agreed, we don't want to have kids.
Okay.
You just leave them alone.
I don't think that's amazing. I think children are wonderful. The Bible says, happy is the man who has a quiver full.
Quiverful.
A quiver is, where you keep all your bows and arrows. So, hey, if you've got 20 in there, good for you. If you've got two in there, good for you.
Yeah.
It's whatever, because God opens and closes the womb. So, for instance, in our case, we had kids very young. We never got pregnant again. We were open if God would have wanted to. He chose not to.
Yeah.
That's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a private thing.
It's
weird. Now, this may be too personal for this program,
but
what the heck? It's real life, right?
Yeah.
As I get older now, mm-hmm. especially when, like, we just recently had a family vacation, and there's great takeaways that I have, but one of the things that I really was surprised was an emotion I had. We were sitting on the beach, and the kids were playing, the families are playing, and I'm watching this. And I had this thought that I never thought I'd ever have.
What's
and that?
That
was, this is so awesome that I'd like to have maybe two or three more of this. Not just two or three more grandkids, but I could easily have celebrated two or three more sons or daughters added to my daughters and their sons-in-law, our sons-in-law on the beach right there, and their kids too. In other words, I was saying, this is so cool, the more the merrier.
I could do more of this.
Sure.
Yeah, and then my mind was thinking about the patriarchs and America 80 years ago, where, the screen door flew open and five kids came out, and you see these big celebrations, family, holidays, Christmas, whatever, and there's kids swinging from everywhere, and all the craziness of it is awesome. Now, if you would have asked me that 10 years ago, I would have said, are you nuts?
Are you crazy?
Are you nuts?
See, I was raised in that. The baby of nine kids, so it was chaotic. When everybody got married and started having kids, it was this chaotic, huge family thing. So noise and craziness doesn't freak me out because
it was
perfectly normal for me.
Who's that? Who's that? Who's that one?
Yeah, it's noisy and loud and great.
You came from nine kids. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I came from eight kids.
Oh, okay.
I was the second of eight kids.
Wow.
So nuts. It's crazy.
It is.
It's crazy today.
Yeah.
We get together. Last Christmas we sat 62 people.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was great. Yeah. Yeah. And it was just family. There were no friends.
I know, isn't that something?
And
it's
nuts.
It's so fun.
And my poor wife, that's, she's the baby of four girls and she's 10 years behind everybody.
Yeah.
She was raised in a quiet
household,
with whispers and this and that. She says, I love these holidays.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. Mistakes are made along the way.
Yeah.
My wife just recently, she's 10 years younger than I am. She's never had kids. I have two kids. And she said she thought she was pregnant.
Oh.
She actually said, what would you do if I told you I was pregnant? And of course, I was very, she's going to kill me for saying this, but nonetheless. I was very, on the outside, I was very cool, calm, and collected. And inside, I'm screaming, what am I going to do,
Yeah.
I thought about it for a while. I thought, it'd be wonderful.
Yeah, sure.
It would be wonderful.
That's right.
Because I made some mistakes with my kids.
Do-over,
all have.
Yeah.
We're trying to do-over with the grandkids.
That's what's fun about grandkids. It's God's grace, grandkids. Yeah. You can fix that.
What are the biggest mistakes you'd say that parents would make today with kids, in general?
Well, I'll just say the biggest mistakes I think I made.
Yeah, okay.
Number one, our kids were very little when the church started, so I didn't spend the time with them that I should have.
Okay. Billy Graham says the same thing.
I thought if I would be busy, what I'm going to tell you, I really meant it.
Go ahead.
And I really believe this.
Did believe it.
I did believe this.
Yeah.
Don't believe this anymore. I believe that if I poured my life into building God's church here in town and obeyed him and did everything and just was tireless about it, he'd take care of my family. Now, was I sincere? 100%.
Yeah.
Does that sound cool? Oh, boy, what faith you have. I was stupid.
Yeah.
Because nowhere did God say that in his word.
Mm.
My emotions said that, and I presumed upon God a truth that I had made up. God made it really clear to me later on, you lost a lot of time, Jack.
Wow.
I never said I would cover your home if you would build the church. I build my church, Jesus said. You take care of your home.
Yeah.
Boy, let me tell you, I woke up to that 10 years into the church, and I'd probably spent collectively time away in other countries, church planting, stuff like that. It's easy. I probably spent, I missed a year and a half of their lives when they're young. That's huge.
Yeah. That's huge. Conservative, because I was with you on a few of those.
You were. And so it's your fault.
Thank you.
But I would say this also is when you're a parent, you want your kids to be perfect and you're hard on them. Yeah. Don't pick your nose. Sit down. Stop playing with your sister's hair.
Right.
Don't do that. Stop it. Don't kick the seat. As a grandparent, it's like that stuff. Let it go.
Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, not taking yourself seriously or them too seriously. I just recently been telling my daughter, tell her yes as much as you can. Don't, you know, I hear her saying, no, you can't do that. You know, she'll ask to do something. No. And it's like, no, go ahead, because that's not going to make or break anything here. Say yes as much as you can. And that's an experienced voice speaking.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why not? This is not an ethical, moral issue here. That's where you stand strong. But on these little things, and I don't mean be liberal and just let them do whatever they want and have whatever they want and give them whatever they want. I'm not saying that at all, because there's a balance, a very healthy balance. But taking yourself or them too seriously and thinking they're supposed to be a certain way, you know, it's no good. It doesn't work. Yeah. It's painful
parenting,
for both of you.
Parenting's very, just by nature, parenting's very legalistic.
What do you mean?
Can be.
You've got kids and your neighbor or your friends have got kids and you want to make sure that they put on a good face.
Yeah.
It makes you look good. There's a lot of pressure. And for grandparenting, it's not the law. When you're young, it's all about, I say the law. Our kids have got to be really right on. How come my family is not like their family? Mm-hmm. All that pressure. When you're a grandparent, the law's gone. It's over. Forget it. Because you lived it. It's like, that's not worth it. It's grace.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, the stereotype, which is really true. Oh, man, our kids go over to the grandparents' house and they have popcorn, you know, in bed at, you know, 10 o'clock at night with chocolate poured on it.
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
Why not? Grandparenting is all about grace.
Isn't that interesting?
Parenting is really stiff and it's hard and it's kind of scary. Grandparenting is like, hey, it's not going to kill them. And, you know, it's just wonderful.
Although I did jump in the pool last night with all my clothes on to save my little grandson last night. So he wasn't in the pool. He was in the spa.
But he kind of slipped and...
Yeah, he was walking around and boom, went in. And I mean, it was within seconds, but it was so funny because it was like I was in there and realized, oh.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. Yeah, I didn't think about it. And when I tried to think about how I even got there, I couldn't.
Yeah.
But I was just holding him, and it was just, I started singing to him.
But a parent would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
But a parent would be prone to dial 911, call the Marines.
Oh, yeah.
Where the grandparent says, okay, check all the vitals here.
That's right.
Everything's good.
I was so much more calm.
We've all fallen into pools. Yeah.
My younger daughter got bit on the face when she was a toddler by a dog. And I immediately called 911 because I was in panic mode, because I think that's what young parents, that's what you do. Whereas last night, the response was very different. You do what you got to do. But I had such a calmness about, you know, within me. And it's just beautiful. So whenever we can pass that on to young parents, I really enjoy working with young moms and just encouraging them. All the mistakes I made. And here, go this direction, because this is, you know, and I wished I would have had people like that in my life when I was a young mom, because I really did want to be a good mom, a great, perfect mom, actually. It's just, it's not possible, but you can do the best, and the more at peace you are, the more confident you are in the Lord, that what you're doing is a good thing, that you must train your children to do right, they need to be tender. They need to be gentle with animals and with other babies and, you know, those kind of things and plants.
Yeah.
You know, you want to teach them to have that respect for things that God has made. And it's just, but when you're all freaked out and yelling at them about everything, no good's going to come out of that.
You said something interesting just shortly ago, and you want your kids to be perfect so that you'll look good.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, so
it's
that
true.
You'll look good.
Yeah.
I think if you do it, just from my experience, if you do it right early on, I'm not saying I did everything right, but... if you do it as right as and do it with the Lord's guidance and lots of prayer and lots of affection and kindness and grace, I just realized the other day how good my kids make me look. You know,
mm-hmm.
I didn't really, I didn't really do anything in particular to make that happen.
Yeah.
I just think I raised them in a godly way, and they do make me look good. Yeah.
The Bible says in Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Mm-hmm. Wow, think of that. The fruit of the womb is a reward, not something to abort or to throw away. Yeah. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
Continue with that.
By the way, that's why we're supposed to have kids. We are to have kids to raise them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. We are to have kids not for IRS deductions.
Right.
Not to propagate our name or to continue our name.
One reason.
Yeah. One reason. Kids are a heritage from the Lord, and we are to train them in the ways of God and to pass on to them faith. Look, the Bible says that we are, Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us, tells mankind, not just the Jewish people, that when your kid wakes up, you tell them about God. Now think about how fun this would be. Yeah. Think about if we were all brought up in a home like this.
Yeah.
When your kid wakes up, you start telling them about God. During the course of the day, you remind them about God, and in the evening, you talk about God, and then when you put them in bed, you talk about God, okay? Right now, we have a 4.5-year-old granddaughter who goes to a Christian preschool, and all of a sudden, it is awesome. The whole world has opened up to her. It's God's world. Papa, look at the bird. Jesus made the bird. Papa, look at the moon. God made the moon. He made the stars. Her faith is exploding because she's being taught all the way through from sunup to sundown. It's all about God. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of a greater way to raise a kid, because you know why? That segues into math, history, science, biology, chemistry, astronomy, everything.
So let's not kid ourselves. Some folks watching right now are looking at you saying, oh, they're talking gibberish. That's foolish. Talk to that person.
I tell you what.
Well, Deuteronomy 6.
Yeah, I got it in front of me here. Deuteronomy 6 says this, and these are the words which I command you today, which shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up.
In other words, all the time.
All the time. Insert, and it's so fun. That you don't have to teach your kid. You don't have to preach to them if you do this. Every day in life, be Christ-centered and be pointing out to them, look at the things. Look at that. Did you see that funny? Look at that butterfly just went by. Let's talk about that. God engineered a butterfly to do this. Isn't it amazing? Your kid's faith will explode, just explode. And it gives them confidence. It gives them self-worth and value when they find out that there's a God in heaven who cares about the sparrows that fall to the ground. Okay? It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so when you do that, somebody might say, oh, that's gibber. That's nuts. I ain't got time for that.
Yeah.
Well, really? How's your system
working out?
Because the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a hopeless life. No, you know, God knows what he's doing.
He does know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
And then when they're teenagers and they don't care about God or going to church, you know, then it's like, well, you start it young. It's a lot easier for them to respect that and understand that. But they won't turn away, because Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. He may go through that period of time where he's finding his way or whatever, and that's normal, but in the end, at some point, he's going to turn back to those things that were trained and put it in his heart as a young child. It's so important.
Yeah. I have a dear friend that is going through that right now. He's got a very intelligent son. He's my friend is a wonderful Christian man, raised him in the church, raised him in the godly way.
How old is the son?
Since 22. Which is a little old to me to be fighting things.
True.
You know,
I
would think you'd be set in your ways by then almost. But I told him the other day, I said, you raised him.
That's right.
You raised him the way God told you to raise him.
Keep
He's
praying.
Coming back.
Yeah,
yep.
Praying.
He's coming back.
You know,
you just keep praying.
This is completely unrehearsed, so I kind of need to set this up. And I know we have just a few moments left, but with what you just said and what we're talking about, maybe this is a good place to end. And I need to protect our extended family. But you just told me of something this morning in the kitchen about a family member who did parenting yesterday brilliantly. Mm. Can you kind of speak to that with the time remaining?
Just the example?
The example is off the charts. Awesome.
Her son was acting up, and so he's about 8, I guess. And she said, well, they have this little system of they get a little paycheck, kind of like allowance, but they call it a paycheck, and they have three jars.
Because they're preparing them for the future.
That's great. I love it.
Save, give, spend. So they have to put their money in these jars. So he was acting up a little bit, and so she said, you know what, I may have to deduct some from your paycheck. And he said, well, how much? So he started kind of wanting to negotiate.
Okay,
you know?
I'll pay for that, Sin. How much?
Yeah, exactly. Like a dime or what is it? You know, trying to decide whether...
Because if it's a dime, it's not a problem.
Yeah,
okay.
A dime, I'll do. Yeah. So she ended up texting her husband. He ends up calling a few minutes later, says, let me talk to him. So he talks to him just for a few minutes, and within a couple minutes, she said he was going, uh-huh, uh-huh. And then she said he just grabbed his head and was just like... honor your father and your mother.
That's
and then he
hears.
Started to kind of cry. And then she was like, oh, so her husband gets on the phone. And he goes, I didn't want him to cry. I just asked him, what's the fifth commandment? And so he repeated it. What is beautiful about that? And I told her, I said, that's awesome, because that shows the tenderness of his heart, that the Lord, the Holy Spirit convicted him. The dad wasn't yelling at him. He just said, what's the fifth commandment say?
Love it.
He repeats it.
Look at that.
He responds
to it.
The power
of God's word.
Everything went off the table. He went back to his schoolwork and did what he was supposed to be doing without the attitude. And
changed it all.
That's so sweet. I mean, that's
change
the bottom line.
Yeah,
you know?
That's power. That's exactly power in the word of God.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Power in the word of God. Here's a little guy who was, because he was taught the Bible, his dad asked him, what does the Bible say? The son was aware of the fact that he was violating the commandment that says you're to honor your father and your mother. Okay, so he was convicted of his wrongdoing, repented, and was freed up to go back to live in his life. He departed from his sin and went back to live his life, and he was free. There was no psychoanalysis necessary. There was no medication necessary. There was not even a spanking necessary. The kid was convicted and repented and had joy. God wants you to do the same thing. You and I have failed in our lives, but when we face up to that failure, that we've sinned against our holy God, our Creator, rather than you take drugs, medication, be psychoanalyzed, God wants you to tell Him, I have violated not only the fifth, but all the commandments. Lord, I have sinned against you. Then God says, okay, I got that. My son died on the cross for your sins. You've repented of that. You're free. Go. And you get up free. You're not bearing guilt. You can sleep at night. You're not afraid. You don't look over your shoulder. You're free. If you don't know that kind of relationship with the ultimate parent, Almighty God, you need to give your heart to Christ today right where you're at. Let him know you sinned against him. Accept his offer through Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and rose again from the grave, and begin your new life. And if you do that, we'd love to hear from you. And you know by now that it is our hope. That's why we do these programs. It's our hope that through Jesus Christ, you will in fact know real life. So God bless you until we see you again.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a presentation called When God Blesses a Couple with Children. Thanks for listening today. And don't forget, as we face our own fears and failures, we can repent and start again, free in Christ, and teach our family how to do the same. Today's interview was just one in a series called Real Marriage, a series that looks at how God has a plan for marriage and how His plan works. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio. And have you ever thought about being in paradise, learning about the God of paradise at the Grand Wailea Hotel and Resort in Maui, Hawaii? The wonderful people at livingwatervacations.com is hosting a week-long inspirational gathering. Listen, literally in paradise, June 6th to the 12th, 2017, all Christ-centered, as we're going to have a tremendous time with special guest worship and speakers such as Kirk Cameron and Jeremy Camp leading in worship. There's other speakers, there's other participants. So I look forward to seeing you. I sure hope you can join us. It's going to be amazing.
Go to livingwatervacations.com for more information. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.